be back in their the impact zone, so you'll sign them in, and they'll be back there the whole time until the end, unless you would like them to be here something for something special, whatever. That's up to you, but we're going to have the children back there the whole time starting next week, so be sure and support what Tiffany and Abby are doing with that, and be a part of that. So kids, go ahead and go back to your class. There they go. All right. Well, a couple things real quick. I told you there's been a rough week for me. So if I don't look over here very much, I have a very bad neck. Monday, let me tell you, not that you really care, but you do. But I know, I'm just teasing. But I'm sound like a griper when I'm going to say it. But I tweaked my knee, and so I thought, okay. And then I got gout in my knee. And then the gout left Tuesday, and it went to my neck. It's in my neck. My doctor says, I don't know how gout, I've never had gout, and I've never heard of it. So he's treating that for that. But this is the first day I've been able to do this. So hello, everybody. I drove around in circles the first 3 days because I couldn't turn right, because I couldn't look right to see. So I'm just doing this. It was not good. But I went to the doctor, and he told me I had a sinus infection, and he froze off a big mole, so I'm sitting here just leaking. And so anyway, I'm a mess. So if you came in here as a mess, I understand too. So God bless you, and I pray that your mess gets better. You know what I mean. Dennis and Helen Kress would like us to pray for them. Dennis and Helen have been coming for a long time, and Dennis is really, he has dementia and going through a lot of things. So be praying for Dennis and for him. Mark Elliott's mom, is she still in the rehab? Okay. And then your nephew, how's he doing? Day by day. Okay. All right. So keep them in your prayers, and there's a lot of other things going on, we'll hopefully go from there. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that we can gather together on this first Sunday in September, a day that the world calls Labor Day, a day that we celebrate, that we have the ability to do the things that we do, that you bless us with. You bless us with the ability. You bless us with the job. You bless us with the resources to do all the things we do. So we thank you for that. And we just pray a blessing on these next few minutes. God, help me to say the things I need to say and be quiet where I need to be quiet. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about becoming a one another church. Becoming a one another church. We've talked about, so far, bearing each other's burdens, bear one another's burdens. We've talked about encouraging one another. Did we pay the light bill, Brenda? Is she in here? We talked about encouraging one another. We talked about accepting one another. We talked about bearing the burdens. And today we're going to talk about probably the hardest one until next week's that we've talked about so far. It's a hard one because when you hear the word, you're not readily accessible to understand what the word always is. We don't use the word, but it's used in the Bible, and it's called admonish one another. Admonish one another. So in becoming a church, we accept one another, we encourage one another, we bear one another's burdens, and today we're going to talk about you admonish one another. And I would say this is the hardest one to get a hold of that we've looked at so far. So let's see what we can do. If I had to come up with a definition, I would say it's this. It's giving guidance or correction. What does admonish mean? It's giving guidance or giving correction. That's a pretty stellar term when it comes to we talk about admonish. And it comes with the idea that there's something not right in a fellow believer's life. And so when he uses the word admonish, he uses that word only to Christians. We don't admonish people who aren't Jesus people. We don't admonish them. We don't go get on people for their lifestyles. We don't talk about who they're sleeping with or what their sex is or any of those kinds of things. As long as those folks are not believers, that's between them and Jesus, and we need to show them who Jesus is, of course. But our job is not to admonish any of those people, to teach them what's right or wrong, but our job is to come alongside of and give guidance and correction to people who are in the flock. Therefore, it makes this one very, very hard, because it is so very hard to receive. It is so hard to receive admonishment, because when we get admonished, our feelings get hurt. Our feelings get hurt because we thought we were doing the right thing, maybe. Or maybe we've deceived ourselves and thought we were doing the right thing, but maybe we weren't. And so I believe that God has this expectation for our lives. As long as we're here, we're supposed to do this. And so some of you today, I believe this is going to fall on deaf ears. You're going to go, there ain't no way in Hades that I'm going to do that, Jeff. There's no way that I'm going to go and I'm going to tell somebody else they need to do something in their life. Okay? I know. There's some of you that are going to go, I see the value of it. And there's some of you are going to get something out of it, and you're going to help somebody, and you're going to detour somebody that is maybe making some wrong choices. I know that all of you in here know a lot of people, and you have a lot of relatives, and I know that you know some people that are a part and making decisions that you look at and go, where is that coming from? How are they doing it? Why are they doing it? What is going on with them? Why are they making those kinds of choices? If on the outside it looks horrendous, and then as you press in and you ask questions, you try to find out what's going on, you begin to understand that, yes, they truly are off base. And what do you do about it? And the very thought that I want you to think about as we move into this today is this. If somebody was in a wheelchair and they were getting ready to run over a cliff, would you not go up and say, don't go there? Would you not say, I think you need to think about what you're doing before you run over the cliff? Yes, you would do that. But in the same way, when we look around and we see people making these horrible life decisions and choices time after time after time, and we do nothing, we become complicit in allowing them to do the things that God never intended them to do. Thanks. Glad I came to church on Labor Day, Jeff. Thank you very much. Well, you can tune out if you want, but I pray you don't. So I've divided this up into three short, simple things because this is hard stuff, so it's not going to be long. It's going to be short, but there's three parts that I want you to, and I tried to tear it apart and make it the simplest I can. So the first one is this, what admonishment is, okay? What admonishment is? Ephesians 4:15. Try to turn around here. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is in the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, just hold on to that, and let's talk about that a minute. Admonishment is not trying to put somebody in their place. It is not trying to get something off of your chest because it bugs you about them, that they just grind your gears. It is not an attitude of I'm going to be certain that they get what they've got coming because, you know, they've been doing these stupid things and they deserve this. You ever thought that with somebody? We don't like to be corrected, and many of us do not like correcting others. And so Paul is speaking here in this Ephesians chapter, and this concept of speaking the truth in love or sharing the truth in love with others is what we're commanded to do. It's a command. It is Jesus' people are to come alongside of people who are getting ready to fall over a cliff. And we are given access to do that. And you go, not me, Jeff. Not me. John Maxwell says this. John is an author, and I really like a lot of the things he says. He says there's three types of people when it comes to sharing the truth and love. First, you have the hiders. The hiders are the ones that don't share the truth. Okay, they're not going to do it no matter what. Fall over the dang cliff. I don't care. Then you have the hurlers. They share the truth, but not in love, and they throw it. They throw it at you, and they pop in. They're kind of passive-aggressive. Here it is. Here's the truth. Suck on it and take it. It's yours. Do something with it. You know, because you've had that happen to you. I have. And then thirdly, he says, then they're the healers, and they share the truth and love. They come alongside to heal. They come alongside to help. They come alongside to say, I'm here because I want what God's best is for your life. And you're going immediate in your brain, what business is that of yours? How many of you are there? How many of you have been there? What business is that of yours? Well, I go to church with you, so what? We do this, so what? See, we have got to take a different hard look at this admonishment tool today. The word admonish appears 8 different times in the New Testament. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's a derivative of the form that appears 60 different times from the Old Testament. God gave us this peace because he knows that these commands are given to believers so they can live out their identity and become who Jesus called them to be. That's why we admonish. We don't do it to get it off our chest. We don't do it to make us feel better. We don't come in because they're making lousy, stupid choices. We admonish. We come alongside of them because we want them to experience God's best. Colossians 3:13-15 says this. I think I'm right. Yeah, there we go. Or 12 through 15. Let's try 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, Impact Christian Church, your holy and dearly beloved, that's you, put on, clothe, wardrobe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience. Bear with each other, forgive one another. See, these are all one another's. And if any of you has a grievance against someone, what's a grievance? Well, it's something they've done wrong. You know, Steinfeld made it very important. You know, it's the festival of grievances. You know, you get the grievances out. But that's not what we're talking about here. He says, if any of you have a grievance against them, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. And be thankful. This passage, it concludes all these one another's. And there, I think I'm going to do a continued series on this in a couple weeks of some more of these one another's, because there's a bunch of them. And there's no mention in that scripture of the mention of power. There's no mention of the word wealth. Instead, there's words like compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. That's how we are to be with our brothers who are not heads and our sisters who are horrible, going on down paths that they should never go on. We should have those things in our toolbox as we talk and share with them. I think, do I have 16? Maybe I put 16. I think I did put 16. I did. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. See, that's the conclusion of that passage. He says, I said all that, all those things, and here's how you do it. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Bring it with you as you teach. See, that's what admonish. As you teach, you bring it with you. You bring that with you and admonish one another with all wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from God, not from your life experience. A lot of us think it is our life experience, but it's not our life experience. So if you combine everything that I just said there, that Paul's talking to this Colossians church, So if you take it all together, it means to put together in somebody's mind, to come along into someone's mind and to put something into their mind that maybe they're just not seeing. Maybe you come along and you're just reminding them, hey, did you think about this? See, that's what makes sense. That's what helps people not go over the cliff. It's so important that we come alongside these folks and put things into somebody's head so it can get in their spirit and so the Holy Spirit can take that and convict. It's not your job to convince people. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Your job is just to put the seed. And the Holy Spirit convicts, just like with salvation, just like with everything else. Your job is just to say, sister, brother, have you thought about this? Every once in a while, when you're driving, you think about those things called side view mirrors. You know what side view? And you have a blind spot. And I remember that when I do interstate driving, I get lazy, and I'm sitting there, I'm on the interstate. I don't know how Yancey and people do that all the time. I don't know. I mean, I know he's got a million mirrors, but the thing of it is, there's still spots you can't see, and you need somebody else on the other side or somebody in front or somebody needs to say, there is a spot that you're not seeing. There's something that is not clear to your view, and it is closer to you than you think, and it is going to bring calamity into your life. You are on something, you are doing something, you are part of something, you are in something that you are going to find great distress with. Have you thought about this? And as I said, the minute somebody even has a hint of doing that, listen to me, the minute somebody has the gall, the minute somebody has the fortitude, the backbone to do that, immediately in our mind, we get like, who in the world are you? The first thing comes out is, but I see all this crap in your life. Right? Who are you to bring that to me? It's our job. It's our job in love, in compassion, in kindness. If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you're anybody that's in charge of anything, of leader, you have to have some of that ability. It might be a good idea in their mind, but it's not a good idea. And somebody has to come along and say, no, no, don't do that. Please don't do that. Proverbs says this, 3:12. It's an old proverb, and we've seen this many times. The Lord disciplines those he loves. The Lord comes alongside of him. He does it. And we go, well, I don't like that. But he does. He does it because he loves us. You do it with your kids because you love them. You tell your kids things not to do because you love them. You don't want to see them fall over the cliff. You love them so much, you don't want to see them getting broke up. You don't want to see them fall to pieces. And the Lord disciplines them, and it's our position to admonish one another. That's number one. Number two, how do we admonish? How do we admonish? And what's cool about this is there's a story, and I'm going to try to share it with you very quickly in the Bible that gives us a picture of how to do that. It's a template. It's a perfect template of how to do this. And it's this scripture that's found in Acts 18, 24 and 25. It says this. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. And he was a learned man. In other words, he was smart. He had thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He knew a lot. And he'd been instructed in the way of the Lord. And he had spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. Now I want you to fall into all that. He was a smart, incredible dude, but he had a piece of information that was missing. Didn't matter how devoted he was to it, didn't matter how passionate he was, didn't matter how convinced he was, he didn't have all the facts. He didn't have it all. So he just knew about John's baptism, teaching on baptism. And what was positive was he was smart. And so was he going to be open to somebody coming along and saying, wait a minute, you're baptizing by John's baptism? That's done. We don't need to be doing John's baptism anymore. Because John's baptism was a demonstration of the desire to do better. That's all John knew. That's what he knew. So he was going around baptizing people because you need to be better. Well, that sounds good, but there's more than that to it. Jesus' baptism is about the empowerment to do better through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. And so it's a piece that was missing. It was important, and it was getting shared, and it was half the truth. I wonder how many half-truths we go around with. I want you to think about this and apply this to a lot of things in your life. It is so easy to go half-cocked off on things that you see on the internet and to get so angry. And then a couple days later to find out it was something else. And then you find out and you go, I don't trust it. I know. I know that's where some of you are. I get it. And you have to understand that in this audience where Apollos is, there's two people. And this lady and this man is named Aquila and Priscilla. And they've decided that they're there in the audience and they're hearing him teach. And they're hearing him and they're seeing him baptized. And you know what they didn't do? They didn't stand up and said, no, you're a heretic. No, you're stupid. No, what in the world are you doing? Hey, sit down, shut up. You don't know anything. You know, you're a big dummy. No, they didn't say any of those things. They waited till it was all over. And the Bible says they invited him to dinner and they shared with him the information in love that there was more things out there. Man, what a template. What a template to do that. You do it in private. You do it when there's nothing else going. You do it in love. You do it gently. It's so easy to be critical today. And it's easy to be critical in church. It is. And I know some of you are critical, because I am. And it's easy when you come to church to judge things when you come to worship rather than to worship. I want to say that again. It's easier to come to worship and judge worship than it is to worship. Let me see what we can do with this. So when you come into worship, you've got to get your head and your mind right. If you come in with this attitude of, man, that band was off today. Man, what in the world, the sound, what happened to the sound? What? Oh my gosh, what was Jeff talking about? It was too hot, it was too cold, it was too long, it was too short, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on, and we get this critical spirit. The words were wrong, and this was wrong, and it didn't come up, and it didn't. And so we get drawn off, and we get drawn into places that God never meant for us to be drawn to. You have got to have your mind and your heart. It doesn't matter what business is going on up here. The rocks are going to cry out if you don't. And it's important that you get your head and your mind right when you come here and not get in the car and the first thing you say is, this, and this wasn't right today. But we do that everywhere we go. We go to the drive-thru and immediately they left out my fries. Well, they got me a burger. Okay, good. You know, it's everywhere we go, we're very, very critical people. Remember, though, when you're admonishing somebody, you're trying to build them up. to help that person not to get something out of. That is not your position to do when you admonish people. Your thing is to come alongside of and to build them up, not to tear them down. And so you know what a lot of you do? You just don't say anything. So you take your criticism and you go home and you boil. You go home and you stew on it, and pretty soon you come in the next week, and what are you expecting? You're expecting a lot of the same. You do it where you go to shop. You do it, I'm going to go to Walmart. I'm going to get ripped off. I go to there. Something's going to happen. It's not going to ring up right. It's this, and you go with this expectation, and you've got to be sure that your expectations start with Jesus, not with I'm here to please Jesus. I'm not here to see what kind of performance these people up here are doing. All we are is a bunch of broken people trying to say, here's what Jesus has done in my life. Can you do it in your life? Right? Right?
Yes.
Thank you. At least one person. One over here. This is a textbook example. Paulus and Aquilas and Priscilla, they're a textbook example of lovingly admonishing, not being critical, not being, putting down, but coming alongside of him, speaking the truth in love. And they gave him something he didn't have. The goal of admonishing someone is to disciple them, not to discourage them. It's counsel. It is not condemnation. Lastly, let's transition to this. How do I receive admonishment? Because this is where a lot of us are. How do I get it? How do I take admonishment? When somebody comes to me and they try to steer me to a place that maybe I hadn't thought about, we think about Apollos. Man, I believe Apollos had this receptive heart. I believe that he was so on fire for Jesus that he was like, oh my goodness. I believe he was open. I believe he was like, I got to think about this. And let me process it. And let me take it in. And he took the counsel and he went with it, the Bible says. And Apollos became a great leader. And he was mentioned throughout all of 1 Corinthians time and time again as a guy who was baptizing people for the right reason. He took the admonishment and did what he was supposed to do with it. In 40 years of ministry, I've received a lot of admonishment. And I usually try to look for the truth in every admonishment. I've gotten emails, I've gotten texts, I've gotten letters, I've gotten people who come into my office and say, this is what you need to be doing, this, this, and this. And I appreciate it. I appreciate it all. I don't say I like it, but I listen to it. And I know that there's some truth in every one of the admonishments. I know there's some truth. And so the first thing I want to say to you about admonishment is know this, that you've got to be open to it and not be so grisly. And be so, but I'm doing this out of the goodness of my heart, and nobody else is doing it, and I'm doing it. Doesn't matter. You got to be open. You got to be open to what it is that the person is saying. Sometimes you got to consider the source, and you say, it's just not worth the time. I had a couple people that just constantly would come have something, this, this, this. And after a while, you know what I did? I put on some earmuffs, and I didn't listen anymore. Because I knew that they were just looking. They were just looking for stuff all the time. And there's people in your life that are like that. And maybe you're like that with other people. You go into every situation. And a lot of you, you're fixers. I understand that. And you go into every room, and you see 50 things that are wrong with it. And you walk into it, and it's this, and there's the color of the carpet's this, and that's this, and this shouldn't be there, and that shouldn't be there, and the lights are, and it clicks in your mind. But you have to be very, very careful what you do with this gift that God gave you. He gave you that gift to manage. He gave you that gift to bring order, and that's right, and it's good. But be careful how you use it. Because it's like a knife sometimes, because it can slit and cut and slit and cut. But the truth in love always, always, always does something that God intended it for it to do. Proverbs 15:1 says this, A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Boy, if anybody needs that, I would maybe you want a tattoo or you want to get something on you. That's a good one right there. The ability to not jump back when somebody, because when you jump back on, you know what it does to the person that brings it out? It shuts them down, and they won't tell you anything else. And they might not even gotten to the tidbit that God wanted them to tell you about. So they come and they test the water and they put it out there and you get a little defensive and it shuts it down and you missed. And maybe you just go over the cliff. You crash. And God maybe sent that person to come into your life and to be that person. Sometimes as a leader, when you lead anything, you have to respond to criticism, and other times you just absorb it. You just take it in. Okay, all right. The more I study this term and the more I've tried to come to grips with what a definition of admonishment is, it isn't what I said at the first. It isn't. I think that it's where I finally landed. It's a loving counsel and it's a loving correction. It just doesn't miss out on this part. It is loving counsel and it is a correction that says there needs to be a different course in your life. And when admonition is given in that way, then something happens in the mind and it, in your spirit, and they come together and they act in the way that they're supposed to do. There's two things. I think I put that definition up there. Yep. Then go to the next one, please. We don't heal in isolation. Here's what I'm going to end on today. We don't heal in isolation. We don't heal by ourselves. So many times people get hurt in the church, and the first thing they do, you know what they do? They take off and they go somewhere. And I'm going to heal over here. And a lot of times they think that they're really doing the right thing by doing that. You think that at home. You think that by a friend. I'm not going to meet with that friend anymore. I'm going to heal in isolation. And you don't heal in isolation. You heal with your family. You heal with people who can come alongside and love on you and love you through it. But oftentimes it doesn't work like that. We don't heal off by ourselves. We don't get better. We do better in community, and that's why we push these life groups that we're doing. For a small church, we have a lot of life groups, and this week, all of our life groups are starting. If you're not in a life group yet, please consider getting in a life group and starting to heal. I want to push these groups this week with you so much, and you're saying, well, there's just nothing that talks to me. Then maybe just go and you be the pro. You go be the pro in the group, and you go in there, and you hand out all your wisdom that you got, all right? Do that. Just go out and say, you know, you guys can't teach me, but I got stuff for you. Here it is. And you can go in there, and then you can start your own life group, okay? I'm just kidding. I really want to challenge you about this, because I think if you go by yourself and you keep doing things by yourself, you get left out. You get left out. Important part of following Jesus is this, is coming alongside and helping people heal, helping people steer them in directions that they didn't thought they were going to go. When Jesus left heaven and he came to earth, he was on a rescue mission. His job was to come to rescue us. He came because I needed rescuing. You needed rescuing. And he came to set us free. From what? From dumb choices. You say, Jeff, has this got any kind of gospel in it today? Here it is. Here's the gospel. He came to set us free from our dumb choices, to give people in our lives what a better thing to have than people who have gone before us and done things and made silly things to come alongside of us and say, here's some admonishment. Here's some loving counsel. So let's admonish one another in truth and love and wisdom. Let's pray as the band comes. Father God, it is such a hard lesson that you put before us here today. Because if we act on this, we're going to get hurt. And if we don't act on it, we're going to get hurt. And so, God, I just pray that as we decide what you want, that we would let you do what you want through us. Help us to stop worrying about us and to be more concerned about pleasing you. And so today, Father, I just pray that if there's one person in here that has never asked you to rescue them, that you would hear the cries of their voice right now, and that you would speak to their head, and that they would have a family that would come alongside and love them in spite of their silly choices. We love you, and we praise you. We ask your blessing on these next few minutes as we just sing, as we reminisce the words that we've just heard. God, we thank you. We thank you for loving counsel. You give it to us in your word. You give it to us through your Holy Spirit every day. Now help us to do that with each other. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh Lord my God, when I'm in awe's wonder, consider all the world that's in me. I see the stars, I hear the roar. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou so my Savior God to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art,
how great thou art,
How great thou art. How great thou art.
Thank you, Dave. You're going to get hurt if you do. You're going to get hurt if you don't. But if you do it, you may help somebody. What a great thing.
Hey, Jeffrey. Thing.
Yes.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I just want to share that with you because I've learned a lot through the years. And I just want to say that don't ever be ashamed to go in front of your brother or sister. None of us should be ashamed as far as going up to them, just seeing things that we see or whatever it may be, as long as it is out of love, like Jeff says, through Christ. And I tell you, I've been upset with myself with so many times I didn't say things and watch people fail and fall away. And that's something we really don't want to see with anybody. Amen.
Amen.
But I've also been blessed by when I did say something to somebody and we come to a room with each other and prayed for one another, and he helped me as well. I found somebody that was able to give me strength in Christ and realize my own things that I have done and sinned in my life are not realized in my life. And I think it's very important for all of us to do that. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Dave. Period. I'll just put the period. Thanks. Couple real quick things. I talked about life groups. Marion, put your hand up over here. If you would like to paint, she's starting a kind of a painting course, and she is a very godly woman, and I love that lady, and she has a great talent with doing painting. And if you would like to be a part of her course, come talk to her. She'll give you some of the details. She's going to start out basic, and then she wants to work her way through the paces with that. So see her. It's the 14th, I think, is when she starts that. Also, I'm pushing this. Tom didn't ask, but he has a virtual Bible study, and it's 30 minutes a week. And last week, nobody joined on. If you are interested in studying the Bible, Tom, raise your hand over there just one more time. I'm going to give it another shot and see if anybody would be interested. See Tom, and it's 30 minutes. You don't have to go anywhere. You sit there on your device, and he's got a link for you to watch, and it's really simple study of the Bible. So give it a shot maybe. And there's six other groups that start last week. So please be sure to be a part of those. This Saturday, Abby's going to talk to you real quickly, but I want to tell you three things. Bring a camp chair with you when you come. Try to park next door, and we still need help setting up and tearing down. If you could be here at 2:30 to set up and then at 9:15 to tear down, we would really use you greatly. I think we've got all the other bases covered. She's going to talk about that, so I'll let her do the news. Thank you so much. Have a great Labor Day.
Good morning, Impact Christian Church. My name is Abby Lucas, and I just have a few announcements about what is going on here at ICC. There is no youth group tonight, but we do have youth group next week starting at 5:30 for 6th through 12th grade. The Hub will be open on Tuesdays at 5 and also one Sunday a month on Saturdays from 10 to 12. This Saturday, September 7th, is going to be our family fun night, which is going to be here at Impact Christian Church. It starts at 5:30 and ends around 9:15. We're going to have food trucks, vendors, and awesome music, and the awesome fireworks show by Yancey. Please park next door, and if you have mobility issues, there will be an area for you to park here at Impact Christian Church. So please tell your friends and bring anybody you can this Saturday to our family fun night. Before you leave today, please make sure you grab a September newsletter that has all the events that are happening here at ICC for the month of September. Well, ICC, that is all the news I have for you. I hope you have a blessed and awesome week and a restful Labor Day, and we'll see you next week.